Hi there, Rob Verkerk here. You've possibly been using some high-dose vitamin B6 because you're interested in actually supplying the body with a really important nutrient to fire up your mitochondria, to give you energy. You may have seen the extraordinary work done by Professor David Smith's group at University of Oxford that showed that B6 together with vitamin B12, folate, and omega-3 fatty acids can reduce your risk of Alzheimer's and dementia and reduce brain shrinkage. Or if you're a woman, you may have been using high-dose vitamin B6 because it relieves symptoms of premenstrual syndrome. Bottom line is, the Europeans are at it again in terms of an initiative to try and restrict vitamin B6. The UK also has had a similar plan for a long time, trying to get the levels right down outside the therapeutic range. So we have just submitted last Friday our consultation response to the European Food Safety Authority. And what EFSA are doing is trying to get the level from the existing tolerable upper level of 25 milligrams down to an astonishingly low 12.5 milligrams. How have they got there? Well, they've done it through sleight of hand, we argue, through very bad science that totally ignores huge tracts of available evidence on the safety of higher doses of vitamin B6. They have gone back to using a small number of case reports that have serious methodological flaws about them, including the Dalton and Dalton study of 1987, a UK-based study that is deeply flawed. And then on top of that, they've used a Beagle study from 1978. It's this 45-year-old study, and they've used an uncertainty factor of 300 to between the both the human studies and the animal studies to try and justify this ludicrously low level of 12.5 milligrams. What kind of impact may that have on levels and supplements? Well, it isn't good news, because the way in which national regulators across Europe go is that they take the tolerable upper level and then they subtract highest mean intakes, the highest levels that people might consume from foods, from that level and say that's the maximum you can have in supplements. So that will likely create maximums of less than 10 milligrams. So we look at the clinical studies, for example, on reducing brain shrinkage, Alzheimer's risk. They were all performed with at least 20 milligrams a day of vitamin B6. And the astonishing thing about the whole program is that it impacts all forms of vitamin B6. The potential for peripheral neuropathy, which is the critical effect that they're using to justify this, has only ever been determined with one specific form of vitamin B6, pyridoxine. So pyridoxal, which is another form, there are three main vitamins of B6, but the phosphate of that is the coenzyme, the active form. It's never been found to demonstrate any kind of neurotoxicity at all, yet it gets thrown into the same basket. So that's massively disproportionate. This is something we have to fight. We put out a press release, please get the information out. Obviously it depends what EFSA do in terms of all of the consultation responses. And of course, this is another step closer to the European Commission moving forward with a harmonized approach to get all countries across the EU to the same ludicrously low levels. This is all about freedom of choice. It's about self-care, it's something that we have to stop happening. It's been done before, but people are gonna need to get active and create a strong political response in Europe. Thanks for listening. You'll see more links in the article here. But this is one to really watch out for, and we need to take a stand on it. Thank you.